Go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Esther, Esther chapter number 4. Book of Esther. Esther is an Old Testament book. It's found right before the book of Job. Esther chapter number 4 this morning. We've been preaching this series about believing to see the goodness of God, and we're going to continue on that this morning and also the following week, and then we will start our Bible conference 2 weeks from today. We're excited about that. But we're looking for God to do something special in our midst. And I think one of the ways we can do that is by believing to see the goodness of God. You see on the screen in the back, today's message is believing to see the goodness of God and His providences. And you see the theme verse that we've been using, that I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. David was saying there that of all the things that were happening to him in his life and all the things that were going wrong, and all the trials, all the turmoils, all the everything that happens in life, if he did not believe to see that God was in control and that God was good, he would have fainted. He would have gave up a long time ago. He would have said, hey, it is not worth it. I'm just going to go do my own thing. But David said, no, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord. And that's the idea between the messages that we've been gearing towards. And this morning's message is the same type of thing. It talked about in his providences. We began the book this year with our theme, A Proper Vision, having this thought. If we have the proper vision of God, everything else will fall in place. We look in Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. We saw that Isaiah was feeling bad for Uzziah who died, and then he had a vision. He saw God. He saw him high. He saw him lifted up. And when he saw him high and lifted up, he realized who God was. He realized who he was, and he responded the right way. Amen. And he said, here am I, Lord, send me. He realized that God was on the throne, even though the rest of the world seemed like it was going in chaos. Isaiah did not know what was going to happen. King Uzziah was a good king. He was fretting. He was worried. And then when he got a good glimpse of seeing God high, seeing God lifted up, he said, I don't have to worry about anything. God's the one that's in control. God's the one that sees and deals with all the different things that are going on. And that's what this idea of providence is. If you look at a dictionary word of providence, it would say the act of seeing and providing or preparing for the future. You look, this idea of God's providence is talking about is an aspect of His grace. It says that it refers to an oversight, means that He directs the course of affairs. The word universe tells us that God is not only the big picture, but He also concerns Himself with the tiniest details. It's this idea that God has the foresight and the power to watch over and to protect and to provide and also to work everything for good in everyone's life. And I think one of the easiest ways we can think about this word providence and having understanding that God knows everything and God can work everything out for God good. He knows the beginning to the end. He sees it sometimes in our lives. I know some things happen to us and we're like, why is this happening? Why is God allowing this to happen? And then we see maybe 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road, there was a plan, there was a purpose all along for it. And we look back and see how God took care of us and how in God's providence He designed us and He made us, prepared us for the day and time that we are living in to be able to serve Him and to serve Him with all our might and with all our strength. I think one of the greatest ways you can see this is when Jesus was talking, He was preaching, He said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And he uses this next verse, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Now, sparrow is a type of bird. A farthing is not a very, very valuable piece of money. It's probably worth a half of a cent. And He says, look, Jesus is saying, look, if these two birds that are sold for a half a cent, it says, are not as two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. And it's talking about, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Yeah. And so here's this idea is that God can see even when the sparrows fall, He even knows how many hairs are on your head. And it says, fear ye not therefore, ye are more of more value than many sparrows. So what's the Bible saying here? The Bible is saying that God knows everything that is happening in your life. Have faith in it. Believe in it. Trust in it. believe to see the goodness of God even in his providences. How do I apply it to my life? Well, sometimes some of us are, we complain. Some of us worry, man, I'm having bad luck. Life has been hard. Life has been tough. I don't like who I'm married to, maybe. I don't like my family. I don't like the situation and circumstances that are in my life. And when we say things like that, we're not believing that God can take our situation and our circumstances and make it good. See, providence is about believing that God knows everything. Remember, he knows when the little bird falls. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows everything that you have ever thought, everything that you're ever going to think. He knows everything you've ever done, everything you saw, everything you heard. And he can take every area of your life and work that together for his good. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And this story here of Esther is a really unique story. In this book of the Bible, the name of God is not mentioned. The only book of the Bible where God is not mentioned. The only book of the Bible that there really is not the word, a prayer that's given up. You're going to see at the end of this chapter that they fast. And I think that's in the form of what they're seeking after God's heart about that. But it's a unique book of the Bible. And the idea that it speaks of history, but it gives us a glimpse of something. And it gives us a glimpse of how God takes a young peasant girl and makes her queen. And as he makes her queen, God had destined her for a certain purpose. God had prepared her all along the way to get to this moment and this time for a certain purpose. And so how do we apply that to our lives? I don't know exactly what your plan and what your purpose is. But God has destined you and planned you and made you and been preparing you for a certain purpose and a certain reason. For such a time as this is what how Mordecai says to Esther. And when we think, well, how do we wrap this into Friend Day? I don't know everybody that you know. And sometimes we're a little bit worried about inviting certain people to church. Sometimes there are certain people we don't want to have to minister to, or we don't want to pour our lives into, like the song was just talking about. We rather just say, no, that's not my job, let somebody else do it. And see, that's what Esther's first reaction was to her job. What God had designed her to do, she's like, no, if I do this, something bad could happen to me. No. And the verse says, who knoweth whether? It's talking about who knoweth whether. And Mordecai tells Esther, says, look, God has been preparing you for this. And why you have been brought to this kingdom was to do this. And that's what we're going to look at today. Get this idea in our mind. Why God has me here. There's a plan and purpose. Nothing happens by chance. Saying you have bad luck means that there's some chance that happens. No, God knows everything. He has ordained and allowed things to happen in our lives for a time such as this in your life. And let's do what God has called us to do. Just really quick, let's consider a little bit of the background of this story. I'm going to give you the overall fast forward version because we don't have time to go through all of this. But this story was written back in the time where between the book of Ezra chapter 6 and chapter 7. It speaks about when Israel was out in the captivity. And this man, there was a king, Ahasuerus. Now, Ahasuerus was not his actual name. His name was Xerxes. He is a grandson of Cyrus, the son of Darius, the father of Artaxerxes, who will give Nehemiah the permission to go back to Jerusalem. So they have been in captivity already. They're living in like a permissive type of captivity right now. They're no longer slaves in a sense. They can move about freely now. But they're at a spot where their nation just recently has been captured, been under a certain number of captivity. And Esther here is a young lady that comes on the scene. Give you a little, Esther's parents had already been killed, or maybe even killed during the time of captivity when Nebuchadnezzar came down. Esther's uncle, Mordecai, is the person who's taking care of Esther. He makes her, in a sense, his daughter. And Esther here is chosen to take part of a beauty pageant, in a sense. Chapter number 1 in Esther, it talks about how King Ahasuerus had actually thrown this big party. And this party lasted for months. And at the last 7 days, he ramped it up a little bit, made it even a little bit greater. And he called for his wife, his queen, Vashti, to come in and do something that would have been what she considered was lewd or some type of sexual type dance or something like that. And Vashti said no. King gets mad because, you know, you got to obey the king. King says, okay, let's get rid of Vashti. He kicks the queen out of the palace. No longer will we ever see the queen. And then, you know, all his little subordinate says, I got an idea. Let's find all the fair virgins, all the beautiful virgins that are in your whole entire kingdom. And now this is a world-type empire. It's over 120 different countries and provinces. So they bring all these women, and these women will go into the king, and they'll spend a night with the king. And whoever the king decides that they like best, that's who the king will decide to be his next wife. And the sad thing is that many of these girls who probably had futures and wanted to be married to maybe the man of their dreams and have a family and things like that, if the king did not like them, they would go become his concubine. They would never, he would never ever see them again unless he called for them by name. So this is not a very fun thing for Esther. Esther's chosen to do this, and Esther, as we know in the story, works out that Esther's whose land, whose country has been devastated, has been captured and brought into slavery. Probably her parents were killed during that, because many people were killed during the capture of Nebuchadnezzar, and then, or at least the grandparents and things like that. Her parents are gone. Mordecai is her uncle. She is now forced to spend time with this king, and she is now chosen to be the queen. Well, in this story, there's another character named Haman, who is a wicked character who begins to hate the Jews. And he actually convinces the king to kill all the Jews. There's a decree that's written out and sent out to all the different areas saying, we will actually pay you money if you will kill the Jews. Problem is, Esther's a Jew. Mordecai is a Jew. And so let's pick up here in chapter number 4. It gives you a little bit of the understanding of what's going on here. I know that's a quick version. There's a lot more in the story than that. But Esther's people are supposed to be slaughtered at a certain date. Let's see here, chapter 4, verse number 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to tell the story as it goes along. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, when the decree had gone out, he knew that he was going to be put to death, not only him, but his entire race. Mordecai rent his clothes and put sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud voice and a bitter cry. Now, we don't see that this word is a prayer here in a sense, but many scholars believe that this is what he's doing. He's crying out to God. It's just not mentioned as a prayer. Verse number 2, and it came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. He was someone who had a position in the kingdom, but he could not go do this job. Then verse 3, in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So we see the whole Jewish nation, if you were a Jew, you knew that you were going to be put to death. You begin to do signs such as fasting and walking, having sackcloth, and just crying out, and I believe crying out to God. Verse number 4, so Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Now, I guess Esther didn't really realize what was going on at this point in time. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved. She hated to see Mordecai in sackcloth and then weeping. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai. It seems like she's not getting an idea what's going on here. He had his own clothes, but he was mourning. And to take away the sackcloth from him, and he received a knot. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he appointed to attend unto her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. And so she's trying to figure out why he's weeping, why he's mourning. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasury, to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. And he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make requests before him for her people. So Mordecai sees this and says, look, Esther, this is what's wrong. Here's the decree. Here's the poster that's been put up. If something does not change, they are going to wipe out the whole Jewish nation. You need to go talk to the king. You're the only one that has access to him. You're the only one that's available. You are his wife. I want you to go talk to the king. This is what's wrong. Well, you see here Esther's response. She's fearful. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. Now listen to the response. All the king's servants and the people of the king's providences do know. She's saying, Mordecai, you know this, that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live, but I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. Now, you might say, okay, well, that's not that big a deal. She can just go see her husband anytime they want it. We're not dealing with a reasonable man here. Remember back in chapter number 1, after getting drunk, he makes a demand of his wife. His wife says no, and he says, okay, she's gone. So, if she goes into this kingdom, and she goes into the throne room, and the king sees her and does not hold out his scepter, she is automatically put to death. Esther's afraid. And she's like, he hasn't even called me for 30 days. I don't know if there's something wrong. I don't know if there's a problem. But if I go into that throne room, there's a good chance I'm not coming out alive. Look at Mordecai's response. And they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Esther's, and Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Think not that thyself, that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. He's saying, look, don't think you're safe there. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. What Mordecai was saying, look, you know what? If you don't help, God is going to use someone else. He keeps on going. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. He says, but it won't be by you. You're still going to face the same tragedy. And this is the phrase, and I love this phrase in the Bible. I know a number of years ago we preached a message about for such a time as this. It says, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Mordecai is reminding her and saying, look, who knows why you're there? Who knows why you became queen? Who knows why out of all those women, out of all those fair virgins, the king chose you? He says, maybe the whole reason why you are queen today is for this reason. And let's keep on going. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also, my maidens, will fast likewise, and so I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. He says, okay, I agree. That is what I need to do. But before I go, let us fast for 3 days. And if I end up dying, I end up dying. Verse 17, so Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help today with the message, believing to see the goodness of God and his providences. Lord, sometimes I know that it's easy to complain. Sometimes we don't understand why you have put us in certain situations, certain areas, certain ministries, facing certain problems. Lord, I pray we believe to see the goodness of God even in your providences. I pray that we believe to see how you can take any situation and work it out for good. I pray that, Lord, we can leave this place saying that you're preparing us to serve you and that we need to be available for you to use us whatever way you want us to be used in the areas that we are in. Because, God, you're in control of all things. You have everything already figured out and worked out. Lord, help us if you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's the thought here. It's a simple story. It's amazing, though. You think about it. This girl who was just, we believe, a peasant girl at this point in time, just because of the fact that that was chosen to be a queen. And you say, well, that's great. That's some type of great fairy book story, that how it all worked out, and that's wonderful for Esther. Everything's great. That's not the case. God had a plan and purpose in all this. And you see in the story later on how God uses it and how God is able to use because of Esther to save the Jewish nation and how God worked all these details out. From the fact that most people, if we were Esther, we would think, well, her mom and dad had died. That's a rough thing. the country that the God that she's supposed to serve, it lays in waste over there. There's no patriotic pride there because the city is destroyed. And even though some has been allowed to go back, obviously she chose not to go back. And you think about it, that she has chosen and been forced to become queen. You say, well, that doesn't sound like that bad of a idea. Well, you think about it. Obviously, this man was an older man. Obviously, he was in charge of all these things. But this guy could say for 30 days, I'm not going to see my wife. And she didn't know she was going to become queen. She was forced to spend that time with him, to spend that night with him, to make this decision. But God had all these things and took all these things and prepared Esther for this one moment. It was the reason why God had done it. There's a few things that I'd like to see here, and I'm hoping that we can get this and wrap this all under understanding how God has placed us where He's placed us for a certain reason, for a certain purpose. Let's live that purpose out. Number one is Esther is challenged. You go to verse number 8, you see Mordecai is there, and he says, look, this is what's happening. We are all going to die. You need to go talk to the queen. She's challenged. He's like, okay, Mordecai sees it. He understands it. He's out there weeping. He's out there fasting. He's got sackcloth on. He understands that this is what's going to happen, and this is the way God is going to do it. God is going to use Esther. Esther is going to get to go talk to the king. He and she's going to persuade him, and the Jewish nation is going to be saved. Mordecai sees it. He even challenges Esther to do that. I say, well, how do we apply that to our life? Well, don't we get challenges? I don't know about you, if you come to church on Sunday mornings, that's what these are. These are challenges. These are not just me getting up and preaching and walking around and ranting and raving. This is the Word of God, and it's a challenge to go and leave this place and live for God. It's a challenge to believe in God. As we're talking about today, believe that God has placed you in a certain place and a certain purpose, and you have a purpose to live out in your Christian life. God has designed a destiny for you. Now go and live this way. Go and reach out for Christ. Go and win people to Christ. Go and live like Christ would live. These are challenges. This is not just entertainment. This is not just for us to say things so you can take it and listen to it and say, hey, I came to church, I did my job, and leave. Now, we are challenged through preaching. The Holy Spirit of God challenges our heart when we hear preaching, when we read the Word of God, when we pray, when we see our circumstances. We are presented with challenges all the time. Yeah. Mordecai is presenting Esther with a challenge. He says, this is the reason why you are here. And Esther, second thing is, Esther is fearful. Esther is challenged by Mordecai. Esther is afraid. It's like, you know this, Mordecai, just as well as I do. If I go into that throne room where he's sitting on the throne and he doesn't reach out that scepter, they're going to cut my head off. I'm gone. I'm afraid. I don't want to do this because I can see what happens to me. I've enjoyed becoming queen. I've enjoyed living this life of luxury. I've enjoyed these things. He says, but for 30 days, the king has not asked to see me. And if I go into that throne room, and you know how crazy this man is. He got rid of Vashti. He wouldn't think a second to just get rid of me and have the same type of contest again. She was afraid. Now, Christians, I know sometimes the circumstances we go through, they can be challenging. I mean, they really can. And sometimes these things can be fearful to us, and we could be like, well, I don't want to present the gospel to that person. I don't know how they're going to respond, or I can't live through this, or I can't watch my husband or my wife go through that sickness. I can't deal with my child. And we become fearful of the fact that we don't know what's going to happen. We become fearful of the unknown. Well, what if this happens? Or what if I run out of money? Or what if this person says this thing about me? What if I get rejected? What if? And that's what happened with Esther here. She's fearful. But here's the thing. The Bible tells us, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, that fear of the circumstances of where you're sitting at today, that's not coming from God. That's coming from a different source, a different spirit. Now, God can give us the opportunity to go out and see the need, and see the hugeness of the need, for lack of a better word, and that we will pray and that we will fast and we will do whatever we can, but being afraid of doing what God has called us to do, that comes from the devil. So Esther's challenged. Esther's fearful. To be honest with you, I would be afraid too. There is not a reason. Esther's not superhuman. Esther's not, and our Bible characters, they're not superhuman to the point where they don't have emotions and they don't have feelings. It's just a present. She's just telling Mordecai, hey, look, if I do this, I could possibly die. But remember this. This is Mordecai's adopted daughter. He has no children. He loves Esther. He sees, this is not easy for him to say either. I'm sure he's fearful for her, but he sees something different. He's believing to see the goodness of God to be able to work through. If it could have worked out, Mordecai would have went and talked to the king. He would have been willing to give his life, but he didn't have the position that Esther had. God had designed Esther to this moment, this time, to be able to take on this task. The third thing is, I want you to see Esther was reminded. And this is the verse here you see that Mordecai says. And let's look here in verse 14 again. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall thy enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And I thought about that phrase all week long. Who knoweth? Who knows? Who knoweth whether thou art come to a kingdom for such a time as this? I began thinking about this and began trying to play things through my mind. Who knoweth whether thou art brought to this spot for a certain purpose? I began thinking, who knows? Maybe I was brought to this spot to reach that person. Who knows why I was brought to this family? What is it inside this family? Am I supposed to minister? Why? And that is 2015, and I have this family, and I have these situations. Now, what am I supposed to do? See, that's what Mordecai is telling Esther. He says, look, who knoweth? Who knows? Now, you think it was great. We were excited when you became queen. We didn't understand why Ahasuerus would have chosen you out of all those other women. But we're beginning to realize, and we're beginning to understand the reason why this is happening, so you can be used to help deliver the Jewish nation. Here's the question. Why has God brought you here in 2015, giving you the family He's given you, giving you the job He's given you, giving you the position He's given you, giving you the relationships He's given you, the friendships He's given you, the church He's given you, maybe the illness that He's given you, the country that He's given you, the ministry He's given you? Why has God given you these things? Because He's got a plan for you. He's got something He wants you to do. And when we talk about last week reaching our hard cases, and we went through the story of Stephen, and we looked at Paul and how I believe Stephen helped reach Saul, and then Saul, who became Paul, helped reach the Philippian jailer, and helped reach Onesimus, and helped reach the barbarians, and helped reach all those hard cases. They believed something. They believed to see that God was working in His providential care, that God had destined them to be right there at that moment and at that time to do something for God. And that's what we need to believe. He knows about the sparrows. He knows the numbers of our hairs of our head. He knows who you live with. He knows how much money you make. He knows everything about you. And He has brought you to this spot and this moment for such a time as this. Now, what are you supposed to do? I know some things are fearful. I know it's not always easy to talk to people about the Lord. I know it's not always easy to stand up and do what's right. I know it's not always easy to fight for the good fight. But this is what we have to believe to see. God in His goodness has brought us here. Now what does He want us to do? Fourth thing I want you to see, Esther's resolve. Verses 15 and 16 talks about Esther's response. And she says, look in verse number 16, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and he said, in the whole city, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. Excuse me, 3 days, night or day. I also, my maidens, will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according in the law, and if I perish, I perish. He says, okay, I get it, Mordecai. I see how God has worked out all these details. And He brought me here, and this is God's plan. This is God's purpose. I want you to pray for me. See, Esther's resolve. First, we see her seeking God's will and God's favor. And then once she realizes what God's will and God's favor is, she does what's right, and she's willing to deal with the consequences. You know, if we believe this, this would change our lives. If we believe that God was in charge of all things, and instead of saying, oh, man, that stinks, that was bad luck, or, man, I didn't see that happening, man, this is a surprise to God, what are we going to do now? If we believe to see the goodness of God, and believing that everything that happens in our lives, God sees, God understands, God can take that, and God can orchestrate that, to work those things for our good and for His glory, it would change the way we live our lives. I mean, these messages we've been talking about are all intertwined. It started with Joseph, and we saw in the story of Joseph where he could look to his brothers and says, ye thought it was for evil, but God meant it for good. He could look at all the circumstances, and whether it be Potiphar, whether it be the pit, whether it had been brought in prison, whether it had been brought before Pharaoh, he could have done, he saw God's goodness through all that. And he says, I believe to see the goodness of God, and at the end I can say, look, you might have meant it for evil. Yes, Haman meant it for evil, but God used all those things and wrapped it up and made me destined for this moment in time to help save many people. Say, Pastor, I'm not going to be somebody that's going to save a nation or save a country. But yes, you could be used to save one. You could be used to make a difference in someone else's life, who then could be used to make a difference in somebody else's life who does great things, like Stephen was used for Saul. You think about Caleb and Joshua. We talked about that a few weeks ago, about believing to see the goodness of God and His promises. And, you know, it's just the idea. They believe, they remember Egypt. They remember the parting of the Red Sea. They remember how their shoes didn't grow out of their shoes, and how they got fed with manna, and how they got water out of the rock. They believe all those things. They knew those were the providences of God, and they were standing at the edge of the promised land, and Caleb stilled the people, and he says, we are well able to overcome them. We can do this. How come Caleb was willing to do that? He saw the providences of God bringing them to that spot. Now it was their turn to step out by faith and do something for God. That's what Esther's being challenged with here. Step out by faith, Esther. God brought you here for a certain purpose and for a certain reason. Now live for Him. We also think about last week when we talked about Stephen, you know, preaching to those religious leaders who had heard so many times the truth of the gospel but rejected it, willing to forgive. This impacts Saul's life, which becomes Paul. And then Paul goes and he wins the Philippian jailer and the Onesimuses of the world and the barbarians. And he preaches and teaches to the kings. When are we ever going to be resolved to see the goodness of God and do what He asks? So often, we let our circumstances control what we're going to do and say. But God has allowed those circumstances to happen in our lives. Are we going to believe to see the goodness of God in those? Say, I believe God allowed these things to happen to prepare me for this moment and to live this day this way. I don't know about you, but there are certain people that I know that you don't know that I could reach out to. There are certain people I have a relationship with that you may not even know their name, that I could reach and I could try to win them. It would be ridiculous for me to go to Miss Patty and go tell her to talk to somebody she's never met before when I know them, when I could talk to them. It would be ridiculous for you to go tell me, hey, can you, when God has prepared you to do this, God has prepared you to do that. God has destined you and He has been planning you. He's brought these issues in your life. He's brought these people in your life. He's brought this job in your life. He's brought this. Who knoweth? That's what Mordecai is saying, K.I. is saying, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? He says, look, this could be the whole reason why you are here. Don't miss this. I know that we can't always control who our families are. I know we can't always control our circumstances. We can't always control where we were born at. And we can't always control how tall we are, or how skinny we are, or how fat we are. We can't always control how much hair we have, or what color of hair, and all those different things. I know some of us try to man-make some of those stuff. But all those things, these are the providences of God. God has made us a certain way, allowed certain things to happen. Now go out and do something with what God has given you. Instead of trying to complain and whine about our circumstances, instead of just trying to change them and wish we were something different, or wish we were somewhere different, or wish we had a different family, God has given you these things. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly who you're married to. He knows exactly who your mom and dad is. He knows everything about you. Now go and serve Him. Believe to see the goodness of God. Stop saying, man, if this would change, then I could do something for God. If God wanted that to change, He could change it. He wants you to serve Him right now the way you are. Amen. He wants you to go out and He wants you to talk to the people you know. He says, well, they're not going to listen. Those are the people God's given you to reach. This is the life that He's given you to live. Believe to see that God can work in your life. Instead of just looking around and saying, I want to see God work in somebody else's life. That's what Esther was saying. Look, I can't go into the king. I might die. Mordecai, I say, we're all going to die unless you step up and do something. There are people who are hanging in the balance that we have what they need, that may die and go to hell unless we step up and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Believing to see the goodness of God. Not just making up excuses. Esther, she was challenged. We get challenged. Esther, she was fearful. Don't get me wrong. That fear doesn't come from God. But that fear is something that's real. And that's what stops us. Stop believing that God doesn't know your circumstances. Some people I've heard say, God would not ask me to do this if He knew what I was going through. Does know what you're going through. And in His Word, He tells you this is what He wants you to do. He puts you there. He can change it anytime He wants to. And let's live where we're at and believe to see that God can use you even where you're at too. Esther becomes challenged. She becomes fearful. Esther is reminded. And that's what I want to do this morning to you, is remind you. Who knoweth? Who knows why God brought you here? Put you where you're at. Who knows why? That just here in 2015. You say, well, if I was born back in the 1950s, life would have been a lot easier. You might have been born. You weren't living back then. You weren't living back in the 1800s and 1700s. Things would be so much easier and different. If I just had a different church, if I just had a different pastor, if I just had a different husband, if I just had a different this. God's in control of all of those providences. Now go and serve Him. Believe to see the goodness of God and His promises, providences. He can work together every circumstance in your life. He can take that and work it together for good. Do you believe to see that? That's the idea here. And on our friend day, Brother Campbell, when he preaches about how he got injured while somebody trying to get him ready for surgery, and he lives in constant pain. He believes to see the goodness of God. Could he get angry and get mad and not want to serve? Yes. Could you get angry and get mad and say, I'm not going to do anything? Yes. God's deliverance is going to come somewhere else, but that's not going to be an excuse for you. That's not going to be a good enough reason before God. Let's be like Joseph. Let's just believe to see the goodness of God. Despite those that are trying to harm us. Let's be like Caleb and Joshua. Even though everybody else says it's too hard, it's too tough, the circumstances are too bad, let's believe the promises of God. Let's be like Stephen, preaching to those that we don't think would ever have a chance to win and see the results, like a Saul who can go and win many people to Christ. Let's believe to see, even in the promises, the providences of God. One last thing and we'll close. God's desires for each person to be saved. He says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His design is that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for the sins of mankind, and He wants each and every person to come to a saving knowledge of Him. If you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, you are a sinner, and according to what the Bible says, that sin has a wage. That wage is death, and that means eternal separation from God. And if you desire to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and have a home in heaven today, I want to encourage you. encouraged to come forward during the invitation time. I love to have somebody take a Bible and show you right from the Bible how you can be saved on your way to heaven. Our challenge for this week is, last week was to write out five names. Challenge for this week is to invite those five people to church. Whether it be talking to them personally, over the phone, through mail, whatever it is. And hopefully, as I said, don't just write down easy people. Write down some of the harder cases that we talked about. You say, well, I don't know if they're ever going to... I know it's easy to be fearful. But still, believe that God has put that person on your heart. Believe in the providences of God that He brought that person in your life and in your path. And talk to you about inviting that person and invite them. And if you didn't do that this past week, be praying about those five day people. And then also invite them too. Invite as many people as you want, but look for five people that you think would be tough for them to come to a church service and seek and ask God for them to be here for our friend day. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.